Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Welcome to Your Family Dog. This week, Julie and I are going to be talking about grief, which isn't really my favorite topic. But if you're going to have a dog, sooner or later, you're going to lose your dog. And that's the hard, hard part about having dogs. And so it's important for us to talk about how that feels and why it happens and what we can do to feel better. So, Julie, you get to start. How do you feel about the whole subject of losing a dog?
It's a really, really hard subject. For me this year, it's been very personal, as I've had to say goodbye to three family dogs this year. And I wasn't sure that my poor heart could take yet another loss. In January of this year, my husband's dog, Buckley, our Bernese Mountain Dog, succumbed to cancer. He had histiocytic sarcoma, cancer that's typical for that breed. And he died January 6th, exactly 6 months later. I had to put my own very dear Mr. Bingley down because of his histiocytic sarcoma, which had come back. And that was on July 6th. And then our grand dog, Tex, had an idiopathic seizure disorder. He'd had some cluster seizures in August. We thought everything was going well. They got him through it. He was on a new medication, was doing extraordinarily well. But the day that my granddaughter was born, Emma and Thomas's daughter, Grace, was born October 19th, and while we were at the hospital, Tex had a seizure and died.
It's a lot of loss.
It is a lot of loss, and my poor little heart just feels rather wrung out. I've had to deal with it on a lot of different levels, and having lost Buckley, who was my husband's dog, and so not only just losing Buckley, but trying to support my husband in the loss of his best friend. Mm-hmm. And then with Bingley, that I told somebody, I said, I really feel like I understand Aztec sacrifice because it feels as though somebody has just ripped my living heart right out of my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Tex, then to have to turn to these brand new parents and explain to them that when they come home, their beloved dog is just not going to be there, and having to take care of Tex and that whole situation. It's got me thinking a lot about grief and a lot about what it is that we share with dogs, and why is it that it hurts so, so much. And it can hurt for a really long time. I think that there's no appropriate or inappropriate time for grief in the sense that each relationship with each dog is very different. And I think it's extraordinarily appropriate to grieve. The number of people who have said to me, I really don't think I should be missing Dirtsies or whomever as much as I am. My own feeling is, why? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What do dogs give us? Will they give us?
Yeah. They're just sort of interwoven through our lives. All of the little moments of your day, there's, you know, a dog in it. And so that when that dog isn't there, you're repeatedly feeling the absence over and over. Just different moments, different ways, different times.
Correct. Yeah. I feel exactly that way. I remember when we lost our first dog, Bandit, he died suddenly of a blockage. And I was sitting out on our deck or on our porch, on the porch swing with our daughter. And I looked over at the screen door expecting to see his furry little face in the door asking to come out, and it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just these tiny little moments where you don't even realize how much they've woven themselves into that just kill you. Just kill you.
And yeah, because it's that anticipation and then the pang of, oh.
Right.
No.
The one thing
won't be there.
I have found when we lost Buckley, that was the first time in 17 years that we were down to one dog.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lost Bingley, that was the first time in 34 years we didn't have any dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both equally painful. But I have to say that having multiple dogs, when you lose one of them, it hurts grievously. But at least you have some canine companionship.
Yes.
And having had that wrenched away from me was probably one of the hardest parts. It was losing Bingley in particular. I really wasn't, I remember thinking at the time, though I know what we did was right, that it was time. He was in pain and, or actually he wasn't in pain yet, but he was going to be very soon. And the timing was right. And we worked with the vet and we put him down. But I just wondered, you know, will I ever recover from this? Will I ever, you know, feel again? Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing at Tellmeona's. I'm like, oh, Julie, stop it. It's just a dog. It's not like you've lost, you know, you're burying your children on the Oregon Trail.
but it's just a dog so minimizes the feeling for so many of us. I mean, that can be one of the most painful things people hear after the loss of a dog is, well, it's just a dog. That happens all the time. People say that to others. And it is a really painful, terrible thing. And the advantage of having another dog at the time that you lose a dog is sort of all the things we talked about in our Thanksgiving episode, where the other dog kind of brings you back into the moment and makes you see these, you know, experiences. So that the other dog can kind of, it doesn't ease the pain of losing the first dog, but it keeps you in the present. And honestly, that's part of grief, isn't it?
Yes.
Of recognizing the present and feeling the pain and acknowledging the loss and then celebrating the memories and the gifts that you have left.
Right. One of the things that I have found with that I especially have experienced with the loss, we've now had 9 dogs in our lives, in our married lives, that one of the problems with death is that as time goes on, yes, it does tend to ease the pain and make it a little bit easier, but it's a double-edged sword for me because it also means that each moment takes me one step further away from you. So I find that time is a difficult thing for me to deal with when one of my pets dies because, well, time then allows me to fully love you again and bring another dog into my life, it also takes me incrementally away from you. And that is equally hard for me and something I think most people have, they might feel, but they don't quite know how to express that because it seems so odd in some ways. But
yeah,
I think it's a really true experience and I think it's okay to recognize that as time goes on, it hurts to be farther away from you. And I'm now developing and having these experiences without you. And that's hard too. And, mm-hmm. Because with our dogs, they're not just dogs. They're friends, they're confidants, they're playmates. They're an exercise buddy. They're a warm comfort on a really cold night when you need somebody to lay on your feet, right? He was your friend. And so you have the right to grieve his loss. You have the right to miss him as time takes you farther away from him. And you also have the right to love him for as long as is necessary and to grieve. You know, my husband mentioned to me that he read a study once that was done about people who had lost a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then many of them had been remarried, had children, had built a new life, were seemingly just really happy and had moved along. But one of the things that they admitted was that the person that they had lost, that first spouse, they thought about them and missed them every day. Even though they had built this wonderful, it didn't diminish the love that they felt for their new spouse and their children. But they missed and loved that person and perhaps grieved them every day. So I kind of think that grief, while it's a process, it's also perhaps a state of being, that there are things in our lives, there's always beginnings and there's always endings. So in some ways, we're always grieving something.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And I think it's really okay to feel that loss and to love that person or that pet and to think about them every day and miss them it doesn't mean you can't go on and love the next dog or the next person that comes into your life. Maybe it's why you can, because that particular dog or that particular person opened you to the possibilities of life. And if you're going to be open to the possibilities of life, that means you have to be accepting of the reality of death.
Yeah, and that's what's so hard, isn't it? Because we spend so much time fearing loss and doing everything we can to like put it out of our head. Like even just talking about doing this podcast, when I said to you, no, I don't want to do that. And the reason I don't want to do that is because, of course, grief is a painful subject. It's not something that makes us happy. And we all know that we'll lose our dogs and our loved ones. And we can't avoid it. We can't prevent it. So that whole concept of like, do you want to feel it? Do you want to kind of lean into it? Like, let me be right. Present in the present and enjoy what I've got and really savor it and then take all the gifts from that and move forward with them. We have to open ourselves up a little bit to, and oh my gosh, that's going to hurt.
Right.
And that's a hard thing. We don't typically willingly go into that going, wow,
no,
let's
but it,
go do something painful.
Right. I agree. But on the other hand, is some of significant moments of grace in my life have come in times of deep sorrow for me. I was thinking about, and I'm sorry, this one is probably going to make me cry. Just a couple.
You've already got me right on the edge. So let's do it.
We're going to go. Okay. You got your Kleenex, a tissue alert to anybody who's listening. My daughter and son-in-law and their four children live with my husband and I, and my grandkids range in age from 3 months to seven. So it's, and when Bingley died, Robert was not yet with us, but, the other ones were 7, 5, and 3. And they had lived through the death of Buckley, and they loved my dogs, and they loved Bingley. And it was just a few days after Bingley was gone, and I was sitting in our den in my chair, and I was doing something. And they came in, the three of them, and they handed me Henry's, that's my oldest grandson's, and this is one of his most favorite toys. It's a little stuffed border collie, well-loved. And they handed it to me because they said, Grandma, we want you to have a dog, and so maybe you won't be so sad. And so it was on loan so that I could have a dog and maybe not be so sad until I could get over Bingley. And I thought to myself, what an incredible moment of grace and generosity that never, if I had hid it from them, or, I mean, how can I not hide it from them? They're living with the dog, right? He's gone. But it was an incredible, it reminded me that I too can embody grace and kindness in these times in tiny little ways. And so that was just a very moving thing for me that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been open to letting them in and share this grief with me.
Right. And it's such a small thing, and yet it's an offering, you know, that I see you and I want to be with you and help to ease that. And so that's a beautiful thing that so many of us feel but have a hard time acting on.
Right.
When someone is in grief.
And I think sometimes it's just a small thing like that. Just mm-hmm. saying something to somebody, sending them, I mean, this is no time for a plug, but I do have a great loss of cat, loss of dog card that I send to people. I mean, just even sending them a small card like that saying, you know, you lost a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for you. So it's, I think there are just in, and there are also joyful times that have moments of grace in them. But I am very grateful for those moments of grace because they make the grief bearable. And they make it, of course, solidifying the whole reason why I have dogs in my life, which is
right.
for the joy and the grace that they bring to me. And to know that it can continue even after they've parted from me, that their presence can bring out the best in somebody else, even when they're gone, is that's one of the miracles of dogs.
There's so many miracles of dogs, but yes, that is definitely a big one.
But I'm also thinking, too, that if we're going to talk about grief, we might want to talk about ways in which you might help your family cope with some of this grief. And if you lose your dog suddenly to, like we lost our little bandit to a blockage, or heaven forbid they should get hit by a car, there's not a lot of preparation you can do for that with your kids. But if you do have a dog who's elderly and who's ailing, and you know that it's just a matter of time, I do think there are some things you can do to help your kids get through this. And one of the things that I have found to be really
effective. And to help yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all the same.
One of the things that I found, we've had a couple of dogs that were ill, and like our Rebel, who had a progressive paralyzing up his spine, and he wasn't in any pain, but there was nothing we could do to change it. But one of the things that I really encourage anyone to do is to find a way for every member of the family to care for this dog so that they have a very concrete way to say goodbye to the dog and to know that they contributed to its well-being. Mm-hmm. And I think it will make it a lot easier. So one of the things we did for Rebel was, because we would have blankets, I used a lot of flannel cloth, tablecloths, and I would put a soft blanket on top of it. So wherever we would move Rebel to be with us. So as we were decorating the Christmas tree, Ellie moved him in there and made sure he had popcorn, you know, to eat. And, when she read her book, she lay on the floor and, comb his ears, because he liked having his ears combed. So just little things like that. Maybe one of your children can be the one who makes sure the dog's water bowl is always filled, or that, your job is you get to feed, Buster dinner tonight, or some small way in which your child can contribute to the well-being of the dog in his last days will make him feel, I think, a stronger connection to the dog, and to feel as though I've done something worthwhile for my dog, and maybe make his passing a little bit easier, knowing that you contributed to his greater good.
Right. Right. And just having something to do is so helpful to most of us.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like when we can say, oh, this is helpful. And then we all leap upon it going, yay, I could do that.
Yes.
Because it is such a difficult thing. So giving kids something helpful toward the end can be really nice. And it is tough, especially with older dogs, that they frequently have a long decline.
Yes.
And so there are things that are changing over time, and we could all look for ways to help care for them and make things better for them.
Right.
So there's no one right answer to any of this. And that's something that I think people need to be very conscious of and aware of, because
absolutely,
frequently when you're in the moment of loss, people offer their one easy solution. Well, this is what you just need to do. You just need to get a new dog now, then you'll be fine. Oh, okay. Or you just need to, plant a tree, or you just need to do this, or you just need to do that. And the answer is never that you just need to do one thing. And you have to find what's right for you and your family and what those answers are. And it's case by case basis. Like,
right.
I told in a previous episode that when I was a teenager, we did get a dog. We got a puppy when I had a geriatric dog, because the mere concept of life without a dog was pretty awful. And that decision was right for that time and that family and that dog. But currently I have an 11-year-old dog, and I've been asked recently several times, so are you going to get a puppy so that you don't have a period without? And for this dog, that's not what would be right for him. It's right for me. It's totally what's right for me, but it's not what's right for him. So there's that whole piece of, well, should you get another dog? Should you not get another dog before, be after, 2 days later, 4 days later, 6 months later, 4 years later? That's your choice. Those are your decisions. And whatever decision you make, it's fine. It's good. It's right. It's fair. Nobody can tell you what the timing of that should be.
Right. No, I agree. The one thing that was particularly hard for my daughter, Emma, with the there were many things that were very difficult with the passing of Tex. But she said, Mom, we don't have like a connection dog anymore. Mm-hmm. For many years, each dog was a connection to the previous dogs and the future dog. And so with the passing of Tex, I had not yet gotten a dog. That's it. We're starting over again. There's no connection.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and that was really hard for Emma, and in some ways hard for me. But I also know, too, that the last few months with Bingley, Tex came to stay with us, and I loved Tex, and we tend to view our dogs as family dogs. Although he was Emma and Thomas's, he was my grand dog, and I loved him dearly, and I was happy to have Tex with us at any time. Did I get another dog before Bingley died? No. I couldn't do it because I thought in both instances, it was not right for Bing and it wasn't right for me. Mm-hmm. This was my sort of canine soulmate. And I didn't feel as though I wanted to divert any attention from him at that time. So yeah. His passing I knew what I was setting myself up for, that I was setting myself up for a dogless world for a little while.
Which is a painful place.
Oh, horrible place. Lots of clients offer to loan me their dog, though, which was also very sweet. Really, Julie, I think you need a dog for this weekend. And by the way, would you mind? No, they were lovely. Many of my clients were some of when it was another moment of grace. The number of my clients, because Bingley had worked. Sometimes it stinks to be a trainer's dog because you get stuck in all kinds of things like, okay, we need a distraction dog. I've got one. So my dogs would do all kinds of things for me in training. So many of my clients had met my dogs in one way or another. And they seemed to be as devastated at the loss of Bingley as I was and were so kind and would offer their memories of Bingley when we would be training together or whatever. And that was lovely to have that kind of connection and know that my dog had made a difference in their lives and their dog's lives. So
yeah,
that was a nice thing. But
I do want to just make one little point of clarification in case listeners are confused that you have two daughters, one of whom lives with you and her
Yes.
kids and family live with you, and the other daughter doesn't live with you, and that dog was not living in your home. Tex
Correct.
Did not live in your home.
No.
So
he came to visit, but he didn't live here. That's right. Thank you very much for that clarification. I do have two daughters, my older one, who's married with four kids and lives with me, and my younger daughter, who's married with now one new baby, and she does not live with me. And she's the one who was the dog fanatic and had Tex. So,
yes.
Thanksgiving this year was odd. We didn't have to protect the turkey from anyone.
How boring. There was no guarding or watching or anything?
No
strategies.
No strategies needed, except we did have my grumpy grandcat, Strumpy. Strumpy basically avoided most of us. So that was pretty easy pet to have for Thanksgiving. So no strategies necessary this year. One of the things that, and I agree, there is no one right way to grieve your dog. There's no one right book to read. There's no one right time to get a dog. But one of the things that I have found in general is good for kids and has helped them and might be good for a family, might not be, but I find this one to be a somewhat universal one. And that's to make a memory book of the dog. A great way for the whole family to remember the joy that the dog brought to them. And the kids can, write down or they can write down their favorite memories of the dog, and that can be put in the book. They can draw pictures of the dog. You can do photographs of the dog. But to make this memory book together, and it doesn't have to be the day the
dog
dies.
And, lists of his favorite toys and his favorite games.
Right.
Remember how we always love to play this? Because different dogs have different favorites, too.
Absolutely.
No? Some dogs love Tug, some don't. And so when it's in your memory book, it's like, oh, yeah, Gordo loved Tug. Edzo, not so much.
So I think something like that. And that doesn't have to be the day the dog dies. That is something that you can grow into as the kids may come up to you and say, I really miss the way Buster used to be at the front door when I came home from school. And then that's your you know, your opportunity to say, yes, I miss that too. Would you like to draw a picture of that? And we can put it in a book. So it can be an ongoing thing in a way for kids to more effectively cope with the loss of their dogs.
Yeah, I think that's always a valuable tip for people. And it's a hard one to consider, you know, because we start going, well, am I just bringing it back up? Maybe they're moving forward. Maybe they're, but no, actually giving people a chance to talk about it and having safe to bring up again. Yes. Is an important thing, that you're not going to get all of your grieving done in one day, and neither are your kids. So it's going to come up again and again, and it has to make them feel safe that they can, as opposed to that they shouldn't say something because mom's going to fall apart.
Right.
And mom's definitely going to fall apart if it's me. I'm totally going to fall apart. But that doesn't mean I don't want to have the conversation, you know?
That's right. And it's also, I mean, one thing is it's also okay if you fall apart, you know?
That's the thing.
It's really
like, that's a lesson too,
right? And you know, is blessed are those who mourn. And I don't think it's just people who mourn people. I think blessed are those who grieve, who mourn, and you know, there's something that is good and right about that, or it wouldn't be blessed. I also wanted to say though, I kind of wanted to end on a happy note. And
we love happy notes.
Just happy notes. Well, two things I wanted to say is I do have a couple of blogs on grief and losing dogs that we will post in the show notes. One of them is called The Best Deal on the Planet, and that's got some practical things to do with kids. And the other one is called Canine Grief Observed, and it's about the loss of our Buckley. Can't write about Bing yet. I can't do it. But I'll get there. At some point I will write about Bingley, but it's not happening yet. It's just too raw. But I do have a happy note. And that is a few months, probably about 4 months after I lost Bing, I did call the breeder to find out if she had any litter plans for the next few months. And she told me about a little dog that was about, well, at the time we talked, I guess she was about 14 months old, that she had been very special. She'd been part of her M litter. And she'd had to bottle feed part of that litter for some reason. I don't remember why. But this particular little dog, Sweet Pea, had been small. And she'd had a hard time kind of eating. So she had her first chiropractic treatment at 3 weeks of age. And then she ate like a champ. And she's just a very sweet, earnest, hard-to-focused dog. And she said to me, there's only one person I can think of that I would give this dog to, and it's you. And I was thinking, I thought I wanted a puppy. So we thought about this, but then we had Grace coming and Robert coming, and I said, I can't do it right away. But she said, I'm not sure I can give her up. And I said, don't give her up if you're not ready to. So we had this long conversation back and forth. And finally, the Monday after Thanksgiving, I drove to Maryland. And I picked up Sweet Pea, whose name is now Zuzu. And she has just finished shredding a box. And so it's really important that we now nap right on my feet. And so it's different for me getting an older dog. She's 16 months old. I normally do puppies. So this has been, but I think it's great. I wanted something a bit different. I love flat-coated retrievers, which is why I went back to the breeder. But she's more like Tex than Bing, which is also good. And I remember you saying to me one time that when you first got your dog Gordo, you were afraid that you weren't going to be able to love him as much as you had your previous dog Midas, and you felt very sorry for him. And I have to say, I started that way with Zuzu, Sweet Pea is now Zuzu. Wasn't sure I could love her as much as I love Bingley. And what I'm finding is that I'm growing to love Zuzu for Zuzu. She's not Bing. And no, at this point, adore her in the same way I did Bingley? No. But we've only been together for 2 weeks. So, you know, I didn't adore my husband after 2 weeks. Don't tell him that. In the same way that I adore him now. So why would I expect that with my dog?
But I know, but it's a hard feeling in that moment, isn't it?
It is.
Because it's sort of like you've lost something so big, and then there's a new piece put in, and it's a seed. It's just a little seed.
Right.
And you're like, this is a great seed, and I'm so happy. But I don't know if it can grow to fill this whole pot. that I've got, you know? And I did feel that way with Gordo. I mean, I distinctly remember looking at this adorable little puppy and thinking, oh, he's so sweet, but it's kind of sad that I'll never love him as much as I love Midas. And I look back on that and I'm just blown away because I adored Gordo.
I adored Gordo.
I loved Gordo like crazy. But in that early moment, when the grief from Midas was still so raw, I worried. I wondered, you know, because it's going to be a different relationship. It's always going to be a different relationship, but it's always going to be a good, valuable, strong, you know.
Right.
The benefits outweigh the pain.
Yeah, and I hate to bring that up because it's so raw, but I also want people to understand that when you do get that next dog, it's okay if you're not feeling it the same way you did over the last dog. It'll come.
And it's okay to totally fall in love with that dog and to be joyful again and not feel like that's a betrayal of the past one.
No.
You know?
If not,
that's important too.
Right. If nothing else, to me, that's a celebration of the last one. That you could love this next dog so much because you had loved that previous dog with everything you had. So I think the range of emotions that you can feel in bringing a new dog into your life is something that needs to be recognized and accepted and know that it's okay. It's mm-hmm. just, it's okay. And that if you, I kind of feel like I will miss Bingley to the day I die. There's no question in my mind that he will always hold an extraordinarily special place in my heart. But all of my dogs have extraordinarily special places in my heart.
Right.
And so it's a tough subject.
It's a very tough subject. And I think it's important and I'm glad we did it, but I didn't want to talk about it because it's so hard and painful. I mean, it's a really tough thing. And so I think that's something everybody needs to go into it knowing, you know, that just because something hurts doesn't mean it isn't worth doing.
Absolutely. And also to know that of course, as everybody says, you know, with every ending, there is a new beginning. And maybe it's because you learned how to love and you learned how to train and you learned how to be a companion to your companion animal. You're going to be an even better companion to your next companion animal. And
right.
That's just a really wonderful gift that your previous dog gave you. And it's
yes.
hard. It's hard to be grateful for it because you really want it is. My
yeah.
husband once said to me, he goes, I just want my dog back.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. But the other happy news on that, too, is that although it's been nearly a year since we lost Buckley, Brad is in contact with a burner breeder for a burner puppy. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So we might be going from sort of 0 to 60 pretty quick. and I would also say, too, to people who are all about rescue, I get that. I also would tell you, I think there's no one right way to get a dog.
The key is looking for the individual dog that's going to best fit your life. And wherever you find it, from a rescue, from a breeder, wherever it is, when you find that dog, that's the one for you. So there's no one way to find your next dog, but look out there and find what's out there.
I think that's a great way of putting it, Colleen.
So I think we're about wrung out. We've used all our Kleenex up.
I know I have. I'm down to the last one.
Well, then I think maybe we should wrap this one up and promise everyone that we'll talk about something happy next week.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so. Maybe we'll talk about naming a dog next week. So once you've got that new dog, after you have lost.
There you go.
So.
Good idea.
All right.
Okay. Well, it was great talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Colleen. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.
Hey, if you enjoyed the show, could you do us a quick favor? Head over to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. That will help other families find quick and easy tips for enjoying life with their dogs. Thanks!